And they're supposed to be the bride and the kingdom. I'm going to go through and do the bride and the kingdom and all the things that show up in there as Bible manners and customs. I'll work it into this. Some of it will be separate, and some of it will be in the actual text of the stuff that I taught. I'm using stuff that I made a long time ago when I first came up here, and it's going to make it a whole lot easier on me. And most of the people that belong to this church haven't even seen them. But I taught a lot of this back in the last century. And I was amazed to see how little it had changed. Because the Bible is the Bible. And if you go through and you study it, you come to a conclusion based on what the Scripture said. Well, it ought to stay faithful. Now, and it does. Now, this thing here, this is the inheritance. The whole thing is the inheritance. The actual kingdom city is the heart of the inheritance. And the question is, what's the prize? Well, the prize is Jesus. And that's the reward. Now, this city will include the New Testament church bride and the Old Testament faithful. And it is the house of God, my Father's house. It is the kingdom of God. It is God's kingdom inheritance. It is the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. It is the new earth and justified men of all ages out here in his domain. So when I go through here, once in a while, I'll pull this thing back out. And I'll identify it with some particular type of scripture. Now, actually, there are two millennial kingdoms. Get it right here in a minute. God's kingdom. Why can't I get that up?
You got two sheets up there on top of
your... Yeah, I know. I got this thing on. You want to pull that one out from underneath that other one? They're sticking together. Okay. Now that goes there. And this goes here. I want to put this one up there first. Man, these things stick together sometimes. You don't know what you're doing. Now, in that New Jerusalem, these are the characteristics of the kingdom city occupants. I made this up in the last century, and I went through and tried to find all the places there, and I put Jesus, the Son of God, God the Father, and God the Son up at the top. I taught them that there was one God. I didn't go into the detail that Leonard went into, but I taught them there was one God, and that there were all three offices were there. Now, the worthy, and you'll find these expressions in the Bible, the overcomers, the God lovers, the endurers, the throne seekers, the bond servants, the steadfast continuers, the followers, the obedient true disciples, the word doers, the inheritors, the spiritual inheritors, the bride in the building, the bride hopers, and I almost said the wrong thing, spiritual building stones. The faithful walkers and the kingdom walkers, the faithful seekers, the tree of life seekers, because he's Christ and he's God, and he fulfilled three offices, the office of the Son, the office of the Father, and the office of the Spirit. And when I went through, I didn't say that. But after Leonard came up here, and reinforced, I had believed a pre-incarnate Christ, and I learned from him. I said, that is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So now when you go through here, all these are looking to be in the bride of Christ. And there were three offices through which Jesus Christ worked. And he worked through those three offices as God. But there'll only be one God in there. And a prize. Now this is the inheritance. But the prize is how close you get to him. Now, this is a pretty big place. Lord, you know now how far it is from here to here. It's a gigantic city. And so the truth of the matter is, if you look at all this, the worthy, the ones that he considers worthy, will sit with him in his throne. And he overcame in them. And they loved him because he first loved them. And they learned it. And they knew it. And they believed it. Now see how much more I can add to these now after 40 years and after Leonard came up here. I wanted Leonard to come here. Because Leonard's very, very exhortive. He's very studious. Got a good wife. And a lot of the stuff, when I go through this now, I say, wow, 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 wow. Because I know who Jesus is. And I haven't learned all of it, but I'm learning some of it. Now, all of these titles here, faith hopers, little flock, fellowshippers, to whom comers, crown keepers, word keepers, lawful seekers, rest finders. I went through the Bible and I marked everything in there that applied to the characteristics of these people. Their Old Testament, their New Testament. You have to learn to change. I was taught when I was 7 years old that the bride was, that the bride was made up of just New Testament saints. But after I got down here and started studying and I went to Texas, I learned something from Ray Brooks. You all think I'm real smart and intelligent and everything. I'm a learner. And I listen and I learn. And I take what I learn, and that's what everybody's supposed to do. And if you can improve on it, improve on it. But if you can't improve on it, keep teaching it until you discover you need to improve on it. That's what a school is all about. And that's what this school is all about. And it's the reason I really wanted to have it. Now, they're brethren lovers. Now I understand. See, I made this thing up, and I hadn't even preached over there in 2 Peter, where you had a all those seven things you were supposed to add to the. I didn't know that was there. I had to learn that, and I had to study, and I had to learn it, and so I passed on to you everything I was learning. They're brethren lovers. I am now a brethren lover. And when I get irritated at somebody, I cut that off so fast you wouldn't believe it. And when I find out I'm hurting their feelings, I stop. But believe me, when I came up here, I wasn't a brethren lover. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Man, there need to be a lot of changes in my life. And I'm just going to tell you this because there need to be a lot of changes in your life. And there need to be some more changes in my life. They're garment keepers. They're embracers, they're Christ partakers. So I preach messages on all these. The rest of the saved live of all the ages outside the kingdom city on the new earth. That's it. Now I'm just going to go through these, and I'm a little rusty at doing this, and we're going to talk about the kingdom, the bride. And we're going to work in, as we go through this in the series, as I continue, week after week, Lord willing. And incidentally, I feel great. I feel wonderful. So thank you for your prayers, and keep praying for me. Now, God's kingdom will have two dwelling places in both of its coming ages and the final new earth. One, the dominion lines of it. Out here is the dominion of it. And I'll show you the dominion of it in detail before I'm finished here. But I wanted to establish the groundwork where when I came to this stuff and I showed you one of these charts, I didn't have to spend a lot of time on it. And you could realize what I was talking about. Now, this is his kingdom in the millennial reign. This is the kingdom complex. Goes all the way across the Jordan River. Now, what do you think this is out here that goes across the Euphrates River? I'll show you in a minute. It's the dominion. Well, what about the king? He's the king over the whole earth. Now, all I've done is taken what the scripture says, the measurements, and put them on the scale of this chart. And I can say here, This is what God said the dimensions would be. That's what I believe they'll be. And I took the actual scale of this map down here. I measured them out. Don't worry, I'm going to show you one that looks a lot better than that. That's what this kingdom is. Now, this kingdom over here is the final kingdom. So why in the world does it say this one never ends? Because it burns, doesn't it? Now, how come it never ends? Because the only ones going out of this that will live on this one. And the kingdom here will never end. But it will change. Now, God didn't say he wouldn't change things. But he gave dimensions. He gave measurements. What did he put them in there for? Because he wanted us to draw diagrams of it. I measured these out and I did it myself so I wouldn't be copying from somebody else. And over here, here's this kingdom city in the final heaven age, the perfect age. This is the millennial age. And the saved and the nations shall walk in the light of it. Now, the dominion is the new earth. His realm, his domain. His domain is within the walls. And the closer you live to this city, the further along you are in his domain. Now, if I find something that changes my mind, I'll tell you about it. And when I first came here, do you remember this anime? Yeah. Oop. As old as you are, I'm surprised. Oh, I'm speaking loud when I'm trying to speak soft with my voice. Now, I told you this was the fence around the court. Now, this is the tabernacle. We went through this. And I told you that the way, the truth, and the life into this place, into this assembly, that Jesus was the I am, the ego eimi. I believed it was ego eimi at that time because that's the first thing I learned in seminary, who ego eimi is, and then they came out with a song about it. I am the way, boom. The truth, boom. And the life, boom. You do that, you live like he tells you, and you will enter in here. Now this, the tabernacle, is abundant life. Holy of holies, habitation of God in the church and tabernacle. You want to be in the immediate presence of Jesus? You want to see him eyeball to eyeball? And you want to be in that position forever? And the first one he sees when he looks around to do something is you? You'll be the most, we don't have envy in heaven, but you'll be overjoyed more than anybody else in the kingdom. Because you won't be held back by your carnal nature. You think you've experienced static, tremendous joy? Sometimes I cry and I'm there working on a message and I think about these things and I know I'll never make that. I realize that. But I do say, man, just to watch all that happening and to know that God is using them. And listen, we could be one of them. We could be one of them. But it's so hard to get people to realize that this is reality. This is the truth. Now, there are two parts. It's the now local church, home of the truth, the holy place, served by the royal priesthood of Aaron, today served by the royal priesthood of the local church. This is where the faithful are going to be. It doesn't matter if they're from the age of innocence or if they're from the age of Abraham, what age they're from. God made time. And if you were a human being in that time cycle when he comes to get us all and take us up to the seventh trumpet and eventually end up in this final heaven age, this is the tabernacle. This is what the Old Testament people had. Think of how little they had. But who was it leading them? It was the Shekinah glory. It was the Shekinah glory in the cloud. And they followed him. And listen, you don't get to see my bald eyeball. I mean, just as he is. And you'll be able to see him and you won't die. You won't have to do like Moses and get to see the backside of him. And he's real. He's genuine. He's the one that made you. He's your father. And I don't mind calling him daddy. I used to, but I don't now. He's my heavenly daddy. And that's the truth. And that's easy for me because I never really had much of a daddy. But this one is super sensational. He says, the local church, the holy place. Now, this will contain all the faithful of all the ages. And this is the fence around the court. And this is what goes around it. How these are distributed back up in here. But I believe they're family of God. But I believe that this is where the kings of the earth live. And I think the kings of the earth bring out the stuff from out here. And out here is the whole new earth. And I believe the actual kings of the earth are inside the fence. They go out, and their job is to bring in all the glory from outside on the new earth. I may not have that right. But when somebody shows me and proves to me that that's right, I'll change it in a minute. Used to, I'd fight against it and struggle. Not anymore. If it's convincing, I'll accept it. Now, I know sometimes you hear me just suddenly stop and say, don't you see how much God did? How much He loves us? Don't you see the planning that He put into this? Don't you see it? And why would He do that for us? He knew what we'd do before the foundation of the world. You'd be awful hurt if you didn't. You'd be awful hurt if somebody just made you a robot and you never had a choice. I guarantee you that's true. Nobody likes to be a robot. God could have made us robots and made us walk about like this and come down here to church and try to force us to love Him. He gave us a choice. And to do it, He didn't sit down in the council halls of eternity and say, this one's going to hell, this one's going to heaven. But He can't be anything except what He is. I am. He made time. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's all these things. He's full of wisdom and knowledge. And God doesn't grow. But His Son, who was God from the beginning, came in as God into a woman's womb. And He increased in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God. You say, well, that's different from me. He was God. And it was planned before the beginning of the world. And God made Himself into a man, an earth-becoming, blood-flowing man. And if you go through these things and look at the pictures He showed us. I want you to think about this. Did God know Leonard would be teaching here at this church and what he'd be teaching? Absolutely. Did God fill Leonard with His Spirit and use him here? Absolutely. Did he do it with Kenneth? Does He do it with me? Is there any respect of God for our persons? No. God loves us because we love Him because He first loved us. And God wants to reward us. And He gave us this assignment, this job, this calling. And it's taken us three a long time to learn all this stuff. But you know why God did it? He wanted us to have as much of the inheritance as He could give us. That's what we're trying to earn right now. In this group, sitting right here, that's what you're trying to do right now. Well, say, why didn't you tell us the first time around? I had to learn some of this from Leonard. I learned some of it from Ken. I learned some of it from the preachers where I went. And they taught me. And they showed me where I was wrong. And I would accept it better out there because I didn't have to be embarrassed. And I'd come back and I wouldn't even tell you where I got it from. Unless it was Ray Brooks, because I love him so much. I'll tell you, that man's been a fantastic help to me. And this fellow that was here the other one. Man, that's one of the finest men I've ever known in my life. And I learned from people like that. And those people would learn from me, and I would learn from them, and then I came back here, and then I would teach you. I couldn't take credit for that. But it's hard in a church where you're the pastor to admit that other preachers have grown so much they're teaching you. That's the wrong attitude. And I've had it. That's the wrong attitude. And so I've repented. And since that time, it's been a real blessing because I feel a whole lot better about what I know because I learned it from someone else. And I learned it from Leonard. I learned it from Kenneth. I learned it everywhere I went. And I learned some things not to believe. I've had a lot of experience in what not to believe and what to believe. But my life is a whole lot easier now. I told God when this thing, I said, Lord, I don't think I can do this school. And I said, you've got to make this easier for me. Please make it easier for me. And all of a sudden, Terry said, why don't you get out those old boxes and some of that stuff you used to teach back in the last century and some of it you taught 15 years ago. I said, Lord, I don't know. And I did. And then I said, okay, I'm going to go through here and I'm going to add what Leonard taught me and I'm going to add what Kenneth taught me because this is not different from them. I just didn't know about a lot of this stuff about God. I didn't know about all those names. I knew the names, but I guess God knew what. Would you believe that I think God just waited until the time was right and he got Leonard up here? You just think you got yourself up here because he bugs you to death. And you've been marvelous. And I mean that from the depths of my soul. If I've been hard on you, and I have at times, forgive me. I'm just telling you that this is the way you have to learn things. Now, I'm going to be talking about this city. And these aren't things that I got out of a book. The master thing going around it, I measured out in there the holy oblation, and I put it in red, but I got it from old, what's his name? I can't even remember his name. Anyway, it goes all the way across across the Jordan River. Remember how the tribes of Israel, three of them stayed over there? And remember how some of the tribe, Moab, Ammon, I can't remember. But that's why it's so big. That's a big city. Man, that's huge. But that's the millennial reign. Now this is the prince's portion. See that prince's portion? Runs all the way over to the Jordan. That's going to be his kingdom. That's where he's going to reign and rule. But he will be king of all the earth. Now the difference is here, he's king of all the earth. But brother, he's going to have an iron hand in through here. We're going to roam this place. We're going to talk to angels. Angels are going to talk to us. And we're going to get a lot done. And God's going to direct us, and we're not going to put up an argument. We're not going to say, I'm not going to think. I don't want to think. I want God to possess my mind. When I was young, I hated that. I didn't want to have my mind possessed. Good grief, now that I know what my mind is like, my carnal mind, I want him to possess it. I'm tired of being like I am. And I'm anxious to get that carnal nature taken out. Many people never realize the reality of this. This is the truth, the whole truth. And so help me, because everything you see on there, I checked out the scale on it, I measured it, and I guarantee you. So when I started this lecture series, why in the world did God send me over there? Well, when I first went over there in 1952 and 53, I didn't have any idea why he had me over there. I was a believer, but I did some stuff over there I'm ashamed of. I never had any relations with a woman, but I stayed south sometimes. I love Chateau Mobiliac wine. I love champagne. Do you know God kept using me? And I would tell people about Jesus, but I sure didn't know much about him. But that was I didn't drink a lot, but I drank. And I got soused, and one of the things that broke me, I went down and tried to wake up a guy to get him on duty because I was a chief observer, and he'd been out the night before, he was drunk, and I shook him. I don't know what he was dreaming, but he hit me right here in the side of the head, and I thought I was going to have a concussion. I was so mean, I drew back, and I was going to let him have one, and I thought, I can't hit a man that's sleeping. So I went to go over there and got somebody else to pull his shift. We looked out for each other there, I suppose you might say. Well, there it is right there, the holy oblation. And we're going to put this one up here. Now, whatever I don't finish tonight, look, I got a whole pile of stuff under here, and I got a couple of messages, and I got all sorts of stuff. But I'm just going to go until somebody, wait a minute, we start at 6:30, at 7:30, we'll stop and go over there and have a break. And Anna Mae, are you ready? When you get over, you say, get this over with. You say, no, what is it you say? Let's get this show on the road. But I'll try to get you out of here right on time. Now, this is, when I got over there as a geologist, and I went over there for the first time as a geologist in 1976, I believe. And I had graduated from Arkansas Tech. Ta-da! And I went over there and I started surveying. And I started looking. I started getting Israeli geological maps. I kept telling myself, don't fudge, don't fudge, don't fudge, don't fudge. You know why I did that? God was hitting me with it. Don't fudge, don't fudge, don't fudge. And I could have fudged. But after I laid out that land, this is how the land's going to look. There's the Jordan River. Up here's Mount Hermon. See the northern part of that boundary? That's Mount Tabor. It says, and that's the actual measurement for the millennial reign. That's amazing. Look at where Mount Tabor is. And I took them apart into a high mountain. You don't know how thrilled I was. Lord, have mercy. Do you know why God did that? Because I had very little faith. Now I know I have very little faith. I needed that. And there was that high mountain up there. That's it. It's not Mount Hermon or Hermon on up toward the north. There's Mount Tabor. He said, and I saw the frame of a city. That's the frame of the city. That's the walls of it. That's the frame of it. That's absolutely amazing. I mean, you say, well, why does that help you? Man alive, look what God did. You say, well, why did you need that? I needed it, and the people that he used me to teach the people. I taught that in every missionary Baptist church I've been in. I've been in 700 of them, and I've taught it. It's just amazing. Now, this thing over here, the royal grant of land. The king's portion is right in here. But this thing goes all the way across from right about here to the Euphrates. Down here, this is Kadesh Barnea. It goes all the way across to the Euphrates. And he's the king of the earth. And I'm his servant. And I want to live in that city. I want to live in that city so bad I don't know how to express it. God knows I want to live in there. And if God wants you to know, if God knows you want to live in there, and he knows, and the people who want to live in there, well, they're going to live in there. Now, this right here, if I can turn it over that way, maybe it'll do better. I don't know.
Okay.
What? Now this over here.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell them about that teal tree.
Okay.
And then you look silly when you do it. It's the next thing coming up in your in Isaiah.
If you'll tell them about the fuel tree, I'll get it right.
I'll talk to you about it for you. Now, right over here is this is the Elvara. Yeah. Now this is coming in from the east. Okay? Yeah, this is coming in from the east. Flip that thing back. I can't get it to stay the other way.
This is the east up here.
Yeah, that's coming in the east, but this back here, let's see. I can't hardly see.
Well,
that,
we shift this over here. Shift that Russian church.
Yeah, but see this thing here. This looks like the Mount of Olives.
Which way, Ken?
Go to your right. No, go your left. And go up some.
Why don't, when you get up to heaven, I hope you just tell the Lord, I hope you just don't say anything. Because first you're going to tell him he's wrong, then you're going to tell him he's right.
Where's that copula, brother?
Okay, this is, I hope that don't blow off of there.
Where that copula was.
Okay.
It's right.
That's where I know where that is. Look, will you hold that up there?
Oh, what?
No, this thing.
Oh, this thing's trying to blow with
that. See,
that's what it is. It's blowing.
It's blowing. You got a penny or something you can put on?
Oh, Ken's got money.
Well, it'd have to be a penny. Ken, you got a penny?
I don't have a penny. You got a penny.
Here, put my car keys on it.
All right.
This is a joint effort here. You can put the keys back
there
here. Okay. Now, I want you to notice here that this over here is the, this over here is behind Jerusalem. This is coming in from the Mount of Olives. Oh, don't make it worse.
No, Kenny won't hold it either.
This right here is the Golden Gate. Right here, see? And notice the Golden Gate sits here, and it goes right over this little place right here. That's where the temple sat.
Amen.
And that's a fact. I'm not just, and I can prove it to you, and I have, nobody's ever refuted it. And this right here, you can go on down. There's a thing down through here. And over here is the Mount of Olives. Now, notice that the Mount of Olives is here, but they say the Dome of the Rock is built here, and they say it's underneath it. I know that's a lie. I bribed one of the guards over there, and I got underneath this Dome of the Rock. I didn't even know there was a cave under there. And he took me down into a little passageway, and there's a cave under the Dome of the Rock. I had no idea, but he motioned to me. And he said, well, broken English, he said, show you something. And he held out his hand. So I don't remember what I gave him, but I usually gave too much. But he took me down underneath here. And it's when you go in there, if you walk around it, you'll see the little stairway. It's not hidden. And it goes right down underneath the Dome of the Rock. The temple was not there. It sat right over here. So if it's lined up with the, good grief. If it's lined up with the Golden Gate, I'm trying to find it. I can't see, half see.
I believe it's here.
But it's here. Goes right up through there like that. And notice where the Dome of the Rock is. Also, if you go right along through here, there's all kind of wells and stuff underneath there. A whole bunch of wells. You can see the pump sticking up out of the ground. And there was a very large cave underneath there, and there was an actual spring that came down out of the hills from the Judean waterhead, which is the mountains of Judea, back to the west. And it ran underground, ran right here. It goes right underneath here. It goes all the way down through here. Comes down through here and comes out way down here at what is known as the Pool of Siloam. When I discovered that, man, I just couldn't wait. And I went back and did work in the Judean Hills. Had a man go with me that's an expert at this kind of stuff, and he showed me the different springs and stuff back there, and he showed me the rock shed, the watershed level back in there. I couldn't be it. Now, this over here leads up to the Mount of Olives. And there's a geological fault that comes in right here. There's a geological fault that comes in back down here where you can't see, goes up like this, and goes up through here. And how did I find those? God indicated the Mount of Olives was going to split. And everything that was there was perfect. And I had just graduated from Arkansas Tech University. And I knew all about this stuff. It was fresh in my mind. And I went over there and I said, oh my. And so I kept going over there. And I wrote my book in 1976. And it was published. And I've never been challenged. And the reason I've never been challenged is because God is the one who put all that stuff in there. And I believe that God works ahead of time, because when he speaks the word, I mean, this is not going to be something where it just says gradual this, gradual that, gradual this. It's not going to be like that. That's why the sixth seal, when that earthquake occurs, all Hades is going to break loose. I mean, God's going to say, boom. He may not say boom, but he'll just wave his hand, whammo. All Hades is going to break loose, and the people aren't ready for it. Now, if I hadn't gone over there and seen that, there are a lot of things that go into what I taught, but I couldn't have figured this out unless God had shown me. Y'all be sure and let me know about this now. Now, this is the ashes of the red heifer. And I did this in, I believe, 1992. It's a long time ago. And I thought, good Lord, I hope I didn't make any mistakes in there. Well, I didn't make any mistakes because I didn't start talking about a bunch of stuff that I didn't know about. Oh, thank you. Now, when you go through this, please don't look at this and say, oh, Brother McElmurray, you're so smart. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I've never had my IQ tested, and I don't want to. And God's IQ is so high, who knows? It's infinity. But God had me teaching the truth, even though I didn't know all of it. And then when this new thing started about the red heifer and they got that calf over there, and I told Ray Brooks, he had a phony down there teaching him a bunch of stuff, and I told him, I said, listen, until they grow the calf in the land, it won't work. And I'll tell you, when some tradition is good and when some tradition is bad, when we go through this. Now, Numbers 19, both Jew and Gentile. This was given in the Old Testament, and we've studied about it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the Lord, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak you unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, where there is no blemish, and upon whom never came yoke. That's the shadow of the red heifer, and Jesus is what the shadow is. He represents. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. The reason I made my book 777, there were several reasons, but one of them was that in Revelation, it talks about the seven churches of God. And the other reason was in Zechariah chapter 12. It talks about the 12 stars, I think, that are at the foot of, that represent the Holy Spirit that are at his feet. But that's the reason I named my book that. And one shall burn the heifer in herself, her skin and her flesh and her blood and her dung shall he burn. Now, I'm going to show you something that the Jews started doing after that you won't find in the Bible, but it's in the Talmud, the Mishnah, and the Tosefta. Now, once in a while, they would add something to this. And what they did, they added that the heifer had to be established, had to be burned on the top of the Mount of Olives. And I don't think God minded that. Now, notice I said, I don't think that God minded it, but he didn't do anything about it. And then you had to burn it there. And when it was sacrificed, you had to be able to look over the top of the temple, look down through over the top of the court of the women inside the temple, mountain, tent inside the temple, and over the top of the men's court of the men, and then you had to look, and the doors were open. The actual doors of the temple itself that went into the holy place, they had to be open, and the priest had to be looking in through that when they offered the red, when they burned the red heifer. Now, God never did anything about that. So when I come across a tradition like that, I tell you that, and I just simply tell you, God didn't do anything about it. It's in the Talmud, the Mishnah, and the Tosefta, and I looked all this up. I think Josephus has it too. So when you get into some of this stuff, it's just pure garbage. But some of it, God seemed to go along with, and he didn't seem to mind. And it's like maybe he'd already planned it ahead of time, and I think probably, and he just let them do it. Anyway, whatever the case, when I tell you it's tradition, I'm not telling you that it's absolute truth. I'm telling you that God didn't do anything about it, and so I've always assumed it would be okay. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of this. I'm going to go ahead and, then I'll look at the next one. And I'll stop on time. And then considering this diagram, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and you go on back through here, and you had in that blue area, you had the church of today pictured, and you had the holy place associated with Israel, the faithful of Israel, the saved of all the ages outside it, and the court, which represented the children of God and the family of God, and the courtyard fence. Now, this is what he was talking about when he said, we have an altar wherein they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle, Hebrews 13, 10 through 15. For the bodies of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, conclusion, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people without his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, he was outside the gate, and he suffered out there. And Jesus, he says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. A lot of people drop out of church because they're too embarrassed to ever do anything, to say anything to anybody. And I can understand that, but at least you can study your Bible. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, that Abraham looked for a city that whose building was God and had foundations. That is the fruit of our lips. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, this is the bride. The interesting thing about this is, I went back and I looked up every one of these precious stones. I looked up in several different reference sources to make sure I got the colors right. These are the colors in the rainbow. And this is a Hebrew bride. Now, This Hebrew bride, that's very interesting. I'm pretty sure it's a pyramid. You say, well, that's pretty scant evidence. This was a Hebrew bride at the time that this was written. And they usually saved up money, the bride did, so she could adorn herself in this costume. And this is why I believe Clarence Larkin, in the middle picture there, made the temple, he didn't say so, to appear to be a pyramid. He doesn't say it's a pyramid. Well, a Hebrew bride's attire, they've all wore this attire. I won't guarantee you that it had them in this particular arrangement, but that was the general arrangement. And they may have all looked exactly like, I've seen this from a distance. And they're still doing that some places over there. I've seen it from a distance off of the balcony of a hotel. Let me show you the best evidence that that's probably a Hebrew bride. I used to be able to stand up where I could see what I was doing on the top, but look at those colors. Jasper and all those colors. What's the best proof that it's probably a pyramid? Well, what is the best proof that faithful Israel will be in there? Look whose names are on these foundations. The 12 tribes of Israel. That's the proof. You don't have to wonder about it. That's why I know faithful Israel's in there. And I was taught that. But they didn't teach me this. Oh, I got all kind of proof. You know who taught me that? It was on last night. Teresa said, you know, she said, why don't you just tell them that it has to be Israel? Because those are the names on the bottom. Nobody ever even mentioned that to me. So you see, you got to learn from everybody. And I said, that's the surest proof. Lord, that would have saved me a lot of time. But they wouldn't have this thing, this holy city setting on the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this thing has the foundations, and it also has the tribes of Israel. And Abraham was a descendant of these people. I tell you what, I learned a lot. But you just are constantly amazed at your own stupidity. And you can't very well get a big head over this. Now, I'm not going to teach this right here, the next thing. I taught that back in about 1990. And I think it was back then. You've seen that before, haven't you? Brother McElmurray, you just keep telling us the same thing over and over and over again. Amen. Peter said, call to remembrance. I mean, I used to feel bad about teaching the same thing over, but this is a refreshment of your memory. If you go back and you look at that and you understand it, it's because of what I taught you, what Leonard taught you, what Kenneth taught you, what visiting preachers taught you, and where you went to church somewhere else and they taught you. But listen, that means, if you want to know the truth, that you love God. I don't know how far I'm going to get on this, but it's stapled. You can turn it over like this. Now, Leonard has preached this to you, but this is something I taught a long time ago. I think he did a better job than I did, but I'm going to teach this because it has to do with Bible manners and customs, and I will get more into Bible manners and customs as I go along. You remember when I used to put the stuff down the side? Remember that? That's when I first got a computer and I learned how to do that and put that up and down. Well, I'm going to pass these out when we get back. So it is exactly 2 minutes after. You can take your time if you want to.